Was always absorbed
in thought of Krishna.
thus being always embraced
by the Lord,
he did not know
how
his bodily necessities,
such as sitting,
walking,
eating,
lying down,
drinking,
and talking,
were being
automatically performed.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
A small child, while being cared for by his mother, does not know how the needs of the body for eating, sleeping, lying down, passing water, and evacuation are being fulfilled. He is simply satisfied to be in the lap of his mother. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj was exactly like a small child being cared for by Govinda. The necessary activities of his body were performed without his knowledge. As a father and mother care for their child, Govinda cared for Prahlad Maharaj, who remained always absorbed in thoughts of Govinda. This is Krishna consciousness. Prahlad Maharaj is the vivid example of perfection in Krishna consciousness. So Prahlad Maharaj is a resident of the spiritual world, and simultaneously he happened to appear as the son of Hiranyakashipu. In other words, you know, by the mercy of his spiritual masters, which practically included Narada Muni. You aware of this? You were? And at the same time, it included his mother. And yet at the same time, Narada Muni is relating this to Maharaj Yudhisthira. So we find that from being in the womb of his mother and then being born, Krishna consciousness had descended along with the consciousness of Prahlad Maharaj. Such a great personality, Prabhupada approves of him as a Mahabhagavat, even he's a little boy in that sense. Now the example practically for us in our experience relative in the material world, in relation to this beautiful purport, Prabhupada says here about how a child is being cared for by the mother. That's the same way that Prahlad Maharaj is being cared for by Govinda. Like that. When we see a growing child of maybe 3, 4, 5 years of age, like that, the growing child, they are in the purity of their innocence. They in one sense are not exposed to, or they are not interested, or at the same time, even if they are aware, it doesn't appeal to them of so-called adult activities. at that age. So the particular children at that age, they have a tendency to be what is called carefree. They are free. At the same time, carefree indicates they are not concerned about so much about eating, sleeping, what to speak of mating. That's adults. They're not concerned about eating, sleeping, mating and defending. And in that consciousness of a child 3, 4, 5 years of age, they really are not in the sense they're not irresponsible. The future does not matter to them. The future does not matter. They live in the ever-present, like that. And sometimes you see these children, when they, say example, taken by the parents to the park, and in the park, the girl or the boy, 3, 4, 5 years old, like that, they sometimes move from one place to another in the park. In the background of their consciousness, and at the same time, simultaneously, they are not aware that they don't feel, in the sense that they don't feel the sense of being protected by the parents. That is automatic. That is automatic from the parents' side. So they are not concerned about feeling insecure. Clear? Like Prabhupada says that, Prahlad Maharaj, he did not know how the needs of the body are being taken care of. So many of these children, they do not concern about eating, sleeping, mating and defending. And neither are they in fear. Neither are they in fear of a sense of feeling insecure. Or what if my parents do not protect me? They never feel like that. They never feel like that. They always know that the parents are there for them. Like that. So this is such a wonderful thing relative to our material experience that Prahlad Maharaj is experiencing spiritually. Like that. At the same time, this 3, 4, 5-year-old child, boy or girl, when they move in the house, due to the purity of innocence, they do not walk. They dance. You see, children? They're not running fast, neither are they walking slowly, but they're dancing. They'll sort of move from one place to another in the form of a dance. And when they have to call out to the parents, they do not call out in a formal way. You know, they may say, Mama, Papa, you know, they'll sing. So this is Katha Gana Natyam Gamanam. In other words, for them, every word is song and every step is a dance. Gana Natyam Gamanam in Brahma Samhita says. So Prahlad Maharaj was the same. They are always happy. Always happy. There's no stress for them. There's no anxiety. They do not have to worry about paying the electricity bill. They have no concern about, you know, about hunger, like that. It's like they know that they will be fed, but they are not concerned about being fed. That is automatically there by the parents. Same way with Prahlad Maharaj. So this is an experience relatively in the material world. Even when you are now adult, but we have to remind you that when you were a child, you were carefree. But when you were a child and carefree, you did not know that you were carefree. You did not. You're completely unaware of that a purity of innocence that one went through as a 3-year-old, 2-year-old, 5-year-old, 4-year-old, like that. So Prahlad Maharaj is in the same consciousness. Now the residents or the associates of the Lord are similar. The residents or the associates of the Lord are also similar. That, you know, they are in the purity of the innocence. Anything mundane or material is completely unknown to them. So Prahlad Maharaj, although being the son of a demon, he was completely in Vaikuntha consciousness. Kunta means anxiety. Vaikuntha means no anxiety. And when somebody is in the consciousness of not being anxious about things and not being feeling insecure and no stress and no depression, that is called Vaikuntha, Vaikuntha consciousness, like that. So in one sense, Prahlad Maharaj is a little bit more than, is a little bit more than the residents of Vaikuntha or the residents of Goloka Vrindavan. Because the residents of Vaikuntha and Goloka Vrindavan, you know, even, you know, Laksha Vriteshu Surabhi Abhipalayantam, even the other living entities like the cows, they are not aware of the concept or the experience of fear. Surabhi Abhipa, they are freely grazing in the pasture grounds of Goloka. They are freely grazing. They are not aware of the concept of fear. They are not aware of it in the spiritual world. But here Prahlad is in a more, you could say one sense, situation where the concept of fear and the concept of politics and the concept of, you know, liking and not liking, the concept of friends and enemies is very much there. Is very much there. Because, you know, Hiranyakashipu is around. Very much there. So it's a lesson for us in relation to Prahlad as a Mahabhagavat. It's a lesson for us. In other words, how to be, you could say, how to live in this world, but not of this world. And Prahlad Maharaj is exactly like that. That means, how can we be transcendental in a situation where it is not transcendental? In an environment, in a place that is not transcendental, how to become transcendental? So this is much more, you could say, elevated consciousness and actually just being simply in Vaikuntha. Because there everything is transcendental. So Prahlad Maharaj is super excellent consciousness of Krishna is actually in that particular type of environment. And as the verses and the chapters come up, you'll find more and more how he's being tested to maintain his own Krishna consciousness in a very volatile, materialistic environment. Even to the extent that if you do not give up this Krishna consciousness, I will kill you. Hiranyakashipu said, I will kill you. Even to that extent he's been tested. You do whatever you want, but still I will remain Krishna conscious. So that's another lesson for us to be learned within the material world. So when the purity of innocence of our hearts are becoming more and more manifest, and that purity of innocence in the heart is becoming more and more manifest, then automatically to that degree, unknowingly to you, one is always taken care of and protected by the Lord. So this is what's happening to Prahlad in this sense as a young boy. Alright, we will leave more time for more questions, and even you can ask questions in general, not specifically what I have briefly spoken about today. Anyone?
Thank you, Maharaj, for a wonderful lesson. I have a question, what is the meaning of purity of innocence and how can we develop it?
There is a difference. One can be pure and one knows it. See? In other words, in the process of sadhana bhakti, devotion, service and practice, you are aware that before you became a devotee to practice Krishna consciousness, you were not pure. Right? You know, maybe eating meat and intoxication, watching movies, and you know, all sorts of activities. You know you were not pure. But since you have become a practicing devotee, you are not doing these nonsense things. And therefore you are aware that you are pure. Clear? That's for everyone, that you are pure. But the purity of innocence indicates that even if somebody does something wrong to you, you are not aware of it. And even if you are protected by the Lord, you are not aware of it. In other words, if somebody is not protecting you and attacking you, you don't know. And if somebody is protecting you, you don't know. So that is innocent. You are innocent. And therefore we give the example of the child. The child is not aware that it is dependent on the parents. The child is not aware. But the parents are fully aware that they have to protect the child. So this is innocent. So because of Prahlad Maharaj's consciousness, we are not supposed to take service from the Lord. You understand the point? We are not telling Krishna, I will do this, you must protect me. It's a business deal. Krishna, I will become Krishna conscious, make sure you protect me. Like that. So in that sense, you are requesting the Lord to serve you. But the purity of innocence indicates that you are not aware that the Lord is serving you. You're not aware because you'll not take service on the Lord. So similarly, like the child, although the child is unaware that the parents are protecting the child, they are thinking, this is normal for my parents if they don't protect me, so that's abnormal. They are thinking like that, but actually they do not say, my dear Mata, please protect me. Do they say that? No. They do not need to say that. At the same time, they do not have to make efforts in placing themselves in such a way that the parents do protect them. That is always there. It is naturally there. So therefore one is innocent. One is innocent. In the purity of innocent, in innocence, one is protected by the Lord without knowing that one is protected by the Lord. Whereas one can be pure and one will pray to the Lord for protection and the Lord will protect you and you are aware of it. But in that sense you are not innocent. You are aware of it. So Prahlad Maharaj's consciousness is one of innocence, purity and innocence. Without his knowledge, Govinda is always there for him. Without his knowledge. And without his knowledge, he didn't give too much importance on the functionality of the body, on the functions of the body, like eating, sleeping, lying down. You know, he did not give too much importance to it. That automatically goes on. Like they didn't give too much importance. So that is innocent. Like that. Okay. Microphone. But we have to be careful. Srila Prabhupada mentions in Act of Instruction and in other purports, we should follow Mahabhagavat but not imitate. We cannot imitate Prahlad Maharaj at the same time. We should know our level of Krishna consciousness and realization and act accordingly and make normal progress, natural progress.
Thank you, Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj is setting an example of how to be steady in all circumstances. But a struggling sadhak is always bewildered by the dualities of this world.
Yes.
So, and what should be our minimum practice? Like some thumb rules where we can always remember those thumb rules and we can, that can help us to overcome the bewilderment of dualities.
It is quite amazing that we already know what to do, but we do not do it. We know that we have to perform sadhana, bhakti. Rise early in the morning, attend Mangalati, chant Hare Krishna, hear Srimad Bhagavatam class, and honor Krishna Prasadam. Simply by doing that, one will come to the purity of innocence by being automatically protected by the Lord in one's consciousness. Now, I mentioned probably this before in other places, probably even here, that if one performs sadhana bhakti, which includes chanting Hare Krishna, especially in the morning, one's japa, then when one is ready for the day, one is ready for the day to go out. So the purity of innocence comes in one feature, for the sadhaka, for the devotee who is practicing Krishna consciousness. When you go out for the day, even if you are not working but you are living in the temple, but you may be going out preaching, or you may be going out to do other things like buying bhoga or something, you're going out for the day, you're going to still be exposed to non-devotee association, even for brahmacharis and sannyasis. What to speak of those who are working, going to school, going to college, and so forth. You have so many colleagues that are not devotees and you have to interact with them every day in the office and so forth. So when you chant your rounds in the morning and have a reasonable good morning program, including at least chanting japa and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, then the purity of innocence comes out unknowingly to you, that if a non-devotee wants to approach you to break one of the regulative principles, if a non-devotee wants to approach you by contaminating your consciousness like that, that non-devotee, on considering to approach you, tries to approach you, but you don't know. You do not know. And when they are on the verge of about to approach you, to contaminate you or to bewilder you into material activities, something stops them. Something stops them. They'll feel, oh no, this person no. This person little different. They're not normal as we are. Like that. So unknowingly to you, because you chanted your rounds in that morning and you read Srimad Bhagavatam and you went out, you are protected by a thin veneer of Yogamaya potency. And that thin veneer of Yogamaya potency that surrounds you, you don't know, that can be felt by the non-devotee. Something here, I cannot approach this person, better leave this person alone. And you are in your purity of innocence, you don't know that this is happening to you. Just like Prahlad Maharaj is always protected by the Lord. So that's one thing in a broad sense that can happen where you are protected. Now still, if one chants one's rounds in the morning, one has become purified. And how has one become purified? In what sense? Another thing in a broad sense can happen during the day when you go out. You know, what to speak of not chanting your rounds? What to speak of not hearing Krishna Katha like Srimad Bhagavatam? How much more you can easily become contaminated, isn't it? This is despite chanting your rounds and despite reading Srimad Bhagavatam and honoring Krishna Prasad and going out, this can happen where a non-devotee approaches you but Yogamaya principle stops. Unknowingly to them, then what's stopping me? I cannot approach this person. They don't know. They don't know what it is. And neither do you know that somebody is meant to approach you, to contaminate you. You're protected in your innocence by the Lord through the spiritual energy. So the second thing, not in order of priority, in a broad sense, that may happen to you, is that because you chanted in the morning, and because you had a nice morning program, chanting all your rounds and attending Bhagavatam class and so forth, your own material desires, due to the purifying process, your own material desires will come up. And it will reflect like a mirror. It will reflect like a mirror in front of you. So just see, despite chanting sincerely, despite hearing Bhagavatam in the morning program, you're going out because you become purified by the activities. These anattas, unwanted desires, are coming up in front of you as a mirror. And when it comes up in front of you, you think, now what do I do with this? Maybe I should approach a non-devotee to break one of the regulative principles. You feel that way. And when you feel that way, you make plans. You make some plan to approach a non-devotee for sense enjoyment, for material activities. You make plans. But every time you make plans and then you want to execute the first step of that plan, Krishna spoils your plans at the last minute. Finished. Krishna is saying, you rascal, you chanted so nicely in the morning, you heard Srimad Bhagavatam, and because of chanting and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and honoring Krishna Prasadam, I am showing you in front as a mirror, this is who you are. You're becoming purified. This is Jyonathas. You have to leave that. But instead of leaving it, you want to execute that material desire. Krishna says, I will not leave you. I will not leave you. He always, Krishna, Govinda, always spoils your plans in the last minute. And then one devotee, this happened to him. Every time he tried some sense gratification, non-devotee, Krishna spoiled it. Something happened. You know, like that, in the last minute. So he decided, I am determined to enjoy sense enjoyment. I am determined to engage in material activities. So tomorrow morning, I won't chant my rounds. In the morning, I won't chant my rounds. I know I have to do it, but I won't. Because by chanting, Krishna spoils the plans. So he tried it. He tried it. So he didn't have a good sadhana in the morning. And he went out for the day, trying to contemplate the objects of the senses and so forth. Like that. But this time, Krishna had another plan for him. Krishna said, you go and try. But no non-devotee will like you. No non-devotee will. Even if you approach and they say, that's it, no. So all your attempts will be useless, will be futile. Then what happens? And the next morning you come again, or better to chant. Better to chant Hare Krishna. So this is a second way for a sadhaka. The first way, you don't know that a non-devotee is going to approach you and you're protected, you're in the purity of the innocence. The second way, you know that you want to fall. You know that you want to fall down. But Krishna doesn't allow the fall down. Doesn't allow. Such mercy is there. Like that. Then there's a third way. You chant your rounds nicely in the morning, attend Bhagavatam class, take prasad, then you go out for the day, and you're thinking, no, I really have to enjoy sense gratification. And like that, I really have to become, contaminate myself like that. So here Krishna feels, oh, now you become a bigger rascal. Now you are persistent. Okay. If you are persistent, fine. So there, you fall down. Krishna allows you to fall down. Break one of the regulatory principles. Like that. It is called Krishna karma. It is not under the laws of material nature. It is still under Krishna's supervision. Krishna allows, by His will, because of your insistence at the same time, you fall down. But Krishna makes you fall down so hard, it makes you fall down so hard, and it makes it so difficult for you despite the fall down, that you do not want to fall down again. He gives you that experience. Then you come back, oh Krishna, not this anymore. Not this anymore. Not this anymore. It's too miserable. It's too painful. So Krishna does that. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, once you come to Krishna consciousness, material life is finished. And still if you try to go back to it, you will suffer more and come back more determined to be Krishna conscious. So it's too late. It's too late. Don't consider going back. Your material life is finished. That's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. So this is for satakas, for devotees practicing Krishna consciousness. Any of the Vaishnavis? There's other hands up from the men's side, from the Prabhus. Any of the Vaishnavis, the ladies, Matajis, have question? Make it balanced. Have question? Anyone? Okay, back to the Prabhus. There were several hands up. Where's the microphone? Who wants to ask question? I think he put hand up first.
Maharaj, you mentioned that Prahlad Maharaj is a resident of spiritual world and simultaneously he has appeared as the son of Hiranyakashipu. Could you kindly tell me that is there any reference of Prahlad Maharaj being the resident of spiritual world?
Prahlad Maharaj is Ishtadev is who? Yes?
Narsingadev.
Yes, there is a form of Narsingadev in the Vaikuntha planets. That's always there. All the incarnations and expansions of the Lord have their own planets. And it is mentioned by in the Purport somewhere also. I've read that. Prahlad is eternally. Just like there's an Ayodhya here, there's an Ayodhya in the Vaikuntha path. Like you'll see in the cover of the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, you'll see the Vaikuntha planets. It tells you Nishinga, Vamana, Varaha. It tells you that Prahlad is an eternal resident. Microphone here or there. Here it is, end up before you.
While you just said we have to live in a world in a way, that, but not of this world. So can you explain?
Yes, we should live in this world, but not of this world. Okay. In this world, we have to take care of the bodily needs. Both gross and subtle. And the subtle need is that you have to be in good mental health. Good mental, that means no mental anxiety. That's for the subtle body. And then the gross body means, you know, good physical health. Like that. So that's an activity of this world. At the same time, we have the activity of the soul. Like that. And Prahlad Maharaj was not so much concerned about the activity of the body, which was automatically being taken care of. He was more involved in the activity of the soul. But as sadhakas, we have to do both. We have to bathe the body, we have to feed the body, but at the same time we are feeding the body and the soul because we only honor Krishna Prasad. So the one activity is of this world and the other activity is of the transcendental world. So as one gets mature in realization and one becomes more fixed internally in Krishna consciousness, then automatically the bodily necessities are taken care of without one knowing. Just like here with Prahlad Maharaj. So at that time you can live in this world, but you're not of this world. Srila Prabhupada gives the example, and also the example of his own life. But he gives the example of the six Goswamis. Like that. The six Goswamis, they were so Krishna conscious that they even forgot to eat. They forgot to eat. Does that happen to us? The six Goswamis were so Krishna conscious that they forgot to sleep. In other words, the bodily needs were no more there in that sense. So Prabhupada used to say they literally, if they rested, they only rested for maximum 2 hours. For the rest of the time they were involved in hearing and chanting and writing books for us, you know, in terms of the mission of Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada was himself like that. Srila Prabhupada only rested at around 11 o'clock in the night, and he rose at 1 o'clock in the morning, barely 2 hours, and started his translation work. It's not that they feel like sleeping or they feel like eating. They don't know that they are supposed to eat and sleep. They don't. They're too absorbed in. They're completely, too absorbed or completely conscious of Krishna. Is that all right? But, you know, Prabhupada advised for us that we should sleep at least 6-7 hours daily. That's for us. He gave, you know, he said you should sleep at least 6-7 hours daily. You cannot imitate that stage also. But however, that stage comes due to having two good friends. And our best friends or good friends is called Jara and Vyadi. Old age and disease. We are fortunate that, you know, old age and disease comes. Of course the materialists, they fear this. The non-devotees fear old age and disease. Like that. When old age and disease comes, automatically you'll eat less. And automatically you will sleep less. It's true. And when old age and disease has its effect on the body, then automatically one is applying voluntary force to overcome the inconveniences of old age and disease and be fixed on the platform of spirit soul. You get realization, I'm not this body. And we know that when the body is fit and healthy, you are more in the bodily conception of life. You are more in the bodily conception of life. But as soon as the body gets diseased and old age, you can become less in the bodily conception of life. So in that sense, old age and disease gives us realization. They are friends. It is also known that the six Goswamis were apparently always sickly in Vrindavan. They were always, their bodies were always like sickly. But they didn't care because they were immersed in Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada had major inconveniences for his bodily health. But despite that, he could walk faster than young, able-bodied men. He could travel and go to a new place and tune in with the time zone as if nothing happened, as if he was there for a long time. But others had difficulty. Of course, but we should follow, not try to imitate. Okay, we'll take one last question. Mataji, you have a hand up, huh? We'll come to you now.
And what is the difference between being innocent and being ignorant?
Okay. Ignorance means that one is attracted to material activities. Innocent means that one is not aware that one is attracted to spiritual activities. It's like normal condition. Just like it becomes normal for one to only eat Krishna prasad, right? So that means you're innocent. But if you're not innocent, you may be attracted to some bhoga that is not cooked by devotees, and you think, maybe I should eat this, nobody will know. That means you're not innocent. You're guilty. Innocence means that you're only attracted to only honoring Krishna prasad. The thought of honoring anything else doesn't even come. But ignorance means attracted to material things. See? So therefore, when one is innocent in Krishna consciousness, one is not aware that one is Krishna conscious. One is not aware that one is. That's the normal state. That's normal. But if you are aware that you have to become Krishna conscious, then some effort is involved. Some effort is involved. That you have to put effort. I have to be Krishna conscious. But innocence means you're not aware that you're Krishna conscious. It's normal for you. Pass the microphone to the bell. You have it. Okay. You have to put the microphone on. Switch on.
Hare Krishna Prabhu ji, aapne bahut achi tarah bataya ki material
life. Somebody has to translate.
हाँ, आपने बताया लेकिन हमें कभी-कभी material life में हम किस तरह त्यागें या कम करें क्योंकि हमें ऐसी जगह भी जाना पड़ता है जहाँ कि हम नहीं जाना चाहते और वहाँ हम सोच फर्ज का नाम दे देते हैं कि हमें जाना है परिवार का मामला है और फिर हमारी साधना भक्ति में डिफिकल्टी आती है थोड़ी हम कर नहीं पाते तो ये हम इंद्रिय तृप्ति कर रहे हैं या फिर क्या कर रहे हैं हमें कैसे इस संघर्ष से उभरे हैं
It is natural that when you become Krishna conscious, you will lose your material friends and your relatives will not respect you. Somebody should translate for her now. Somebody translate. Oh, she understands English. Yeah. It is natural that Krishna will protect you from non-devotee association, where your non-devotee friends will no more be your friends. They say, no, you become too spiritual now. We cannot relate to that. So you go your way, we go our way. That means Krishna is protecting you from bad association. With family members and so forth, they will criticize you. Oh, you become sadhu now, you become sadhvi. So we cannot relate to you. So you become protected like that. But if they are favorable to your change in Krishna consciousness, then you can visit them to preach to them. You can visit them to preach to them. Maybe the first visit that you'll go, you may not preach, you just want to be friendly. But you have the intention of later on preaching to them, that's also fine. we must take shelter of Krishna consciousness even in the association of non-devotees who are friends and relatives. We must take shelter of the process of giving them Krishna consciousness. Sometimes to make them Krishna conscious is not possible from your side because of the familiarity of the relationship. They may not listen to you. So then you take other devotees who are not relatives of you, who are not involved in the familiarity of the relationship, to preach to them. You can take other devotees to do like that. Ask if that's okay. It's all right? Fine? Okay. All right, we'll stop now. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Shri Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Thank you.